Thank you for joining us on the Wharton FinTech Podcast. I'm your host, Wesley Astor. Our guest today is Justo Benetti, the SVP Head of Americas at dLocal. Justo is an expert on m-commerce, e-commerce, payments, and banking services in Latin America. His 14-year career spans investment, sales, business development, and advisory roles with Accenture, Worldpay, FIS, and innovative financial technology startups. Before joining dLocal, he was the VP of Strategic Solutions at Worldpay, where he contributed significantly to Worldpay's exponential growth over the past 9 years. Today, we'll discuss Justo's background and role at dLocal, payment processing in emerging markets, scaling fintechs in Latin America, and global fintech trends. Welcome, Justo, and thank you for joining us on the Wharton FinTech Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Wesley, and yeah, very glad to be here. I think I've been a listener of the podcast since the early beginning. So yeah, happy to be joining the show and chatting to you.
Perfect. So to start, can you give an overview of your career to date and how you ended up working in fintech?
Yeah, definitely. I think that was a bit of an accident for sure, but definitely a very nice accident in terms of my career. So I studied business in Argentina, which is originally where I'm from, Buenos Aires. Started my career working more in, you know, executive production on, you know, TV and that type of content. Then briefly moved into some of my own entrepreneurship in Argentina for a period of about 2 years. And then after that, I started in consulting in Accenture. Did that for some time, but then quickly realized I needed something that was a bit more gravitational for me. And then a company at the time that was just setting up shop in Latin America called Global Collect. That's where I started my fintech career. I was actually doing like the re-engineering of all our, let's say, our boarding of customers and so on. And that's really what got me into fintech, right? I think right after that, it was, a 12-year career that never stopped. And I've seen a lot of that evolution, right? But it all started back in Argentina with this Dutch company called Global Collect and then kind of progressed from there on.
So as you mentioned, before joining dLocal, you worked in a variety of roles. Notably, just prior to dLocal, you were the VP of Strategic Solutions at Worldpay, where you played a role in the company's exponential growth. How have these experiences informed your approach to your new role at dLocal?
Yeah, I think it was about 8 years of career that I did that. I started in let's say, Latin America as the third employee for Worldpay. I think it was really, really interesting because even though, Worldpay in itself in the UK was a big company. When we started operations in Latin America, it really felt like a startup, right? I was, renting the first apartment that was our office. We were going out and talking to customers and they were like, what is that? What do you guys do? I saw absolutely everything. We went from being owned by Bain Capital and Advent to, going stock listed in the UK, then into the US, getting acquired by Vantiv. Right before leaving, I had a global role in which I was running all of the cross-sell and upsell for our key growth products globally. A lot of that experience of just, dealing globally gave me, a much more global view, right? And when I moved to San Francisco at the time, I started, engaging with all these global companies and global fintech companies, right? So I think it's been a lot of that and being exposed to the rapid growth and changing scenarios of fintech, right? That kind of put me at dLocal today. I knew Sebas and the guys for some time. And I think when they came to me with the offer, together with John O'Brien, who is the chief revenue officer and somebody who I have worked to pretty closely, I was very excited to join.
And for listeners who are less familiar, perhaps you could give some context on payment processing in emerging markets and just more generally on dLocal. To start, could you give a brief overview of payment processing in Latin America?
Yeah, I think Latin America, so that's where it all started for us, right? For dLocal as a company. So that still remains, if you look at it from a contribution standpoint, one of our largest contributors in terms of revenue, right? Brazil and Mexico are still two very, very large markets for us. Today, the payments market in Latin America, right, continues to be super complex, right? It's not something that got easier. Why? Because if you look at the demographics of Latin America, right, it's very young demographics compared to maybe a Europe, for example. That means that payment trends tend to change a lot faster. You look at cases like Yape in Peru, right, which, maybe 4 or 5 years didn't exist as a payment method. now it's a wallet where you know there's 14, 15 million users. You see a lot of those trends like Pix in Brazil, which I think we were speaking before, but again, another trend which really takes off really, really quickly. Latin America is still a double-digit growth market for all of the companies that are trying to play in the e-commerce area, right? And still a very, very attractive. And where we come in is, we come in and solve all those complexities, right? It's a very changing regulatory framework, right? Where, you know, things change all day in regards to fintech, maybe markets like Argentina, where you might have more of liquidity issues, right? And a lot of regulations that change on a bi-weekly basis. And the same happened with taxes, right? So I think that's where we come in and really try to take all that pain away and say to customers, hey, we're going to take on all of this, right? You just need to focus on the core of your business, which is growing your e-commerce.
Beyond the Americas, how is dLocal working with global enterprises to expand their operations in markets like APAC and Africa? And what solutions does dLocal offer to help those enterprises in their expansion efforts?
Two great questions. So let's start by the first one, Wesley, which is how are we helping some of these, you know, global tech companies, I think, expanding? So Africa and Asia have become a very big driver for us. Not because we wanted to go there, but because a lot of these global companies, likes of, you know, Meta, Amazon, Uber, they're starting to ask us, hey, I have this pain point in Nigeria, right? Or I have this problem in Nigeria with liquidity, or I might have a problem collecting payments in Egypt. How can you guys help us penetrate some of these markets? And the good thing about these companies that we work with is all enterprise customers, there's really a lot of business lines, right? So a lot of different things that we're solving. So we might solve a pain point for, let's say, a company that is selling ads at the B2B level, right? And then, of course, at the same time, we're solving a pain point for the business-to-consumer side of the house. Even though Latin America is still kind of our biggest, you know, horse battle, if you want to call it, if you look at the regions which are growing the fastest, it's Africa, it's Asia. It has happened naturally. That's the cool thing. It has happened naturally through our customer base, right? It was never a forced expansion, right? Or something where we decided, hey, we're going to open 20 new markets, but something that was always customer-led. So that's really what drives our expansion. Today, we're in 40 markets globally and 900 payment methods that we support.
You spoke to the complexity that dLocal solves for its clients. As the company has expanded into new markets, I imagine that complexity has only grown. With operations across continents, how does dLocal navigate diverse regulatory landscapes, especially in emerging markets?
Great question, Wesley, because I think it's one of the ones that I also asked at the time when I was joining dLocal. When you're really localizing an experience, it takes an entire team. I think the differentiator here with dLocal is whenever they go and set up a market, it's going to be a full-blown operation locally. What we try to do is really look for people who are local, right? Who know the dynamics of the markets, who understand how they think, and who can also translate that to our customers. At the end of the day, Wesley, why this customer chooses us is because we can tackle the cost and the operational complexity of operating in that market. When you need to get, let's say, 1% additional conversion rate for, you know, a video on demand company globally, you really need to have people with boots on the ground.
I'd like to shift our focus to your new role as SVP Head of Americas. To start, can you give us an overview of your new role and what your focus will be?
Yeah, my focus will be around growing the business in the Americas as a whole. If you look at today, our current customers in the America make up the biggest portion of our revenue as a company. And if you look at macro levels, our share of wallet is still pretty, pretty low with a lot of these customers. So my job as the head of the Americas is going to be to grow the business exponentially here, right? Not only through our current customers, but also through new business development. And that includes us branching into verticals that we might have not operated a lot before. That might be a travel vertical, for example, but also growing other parts of the products that we have. So today, payments has historically been a very big part of dLocal's operations. What people don't know that payouts is growing double digit and is today, you know, maybe 30% of our TPP. I'd say the third part of my focus is going to be around how do we build much more stronger partnerships within the Americas. And that includes companies that are in sectors that we really see are going to grow exponentially in the next couple of years. That could be edtech, right? It could be medtech as well, but also with the likes of other banks.
You mentioned branching into the travel vertical. Can you elaborate on the opportunity that dLocal sees within travel?
Yeah, I think travel companies usually operate in a multitude of countries. They have pains and payouts, so it's a very perfect fit for dLocal. We finessed a lot our knowledge, and we started solving a lot of this pain point for some of the biggest OTAs globally, right? And the same is starting to happen with airlines. Historically, because of low operating margins, would maybe, you know, not look at dLocal as the first option. And I think that is starting to shift as their business model also shifts. Today, a model which is much more based on ancillary services, that gives us an opportunity to tap into that specific vertical in a much better way.
So you've been instrumental in scaling fintechs in the Americas. You mentioned that you were one of the first employees at Worldpay in Latin America. What challenges do you think are particular to Latin America in achieving scale within the region? And what strategies or what approaches do you think have been successful in your career?
You know, it's come a long way from when I started, you know, 10 years ago, I'd say Latin America, but we still got a long way to go. Like, I give you examples. We sit down with what we call an alternative payment provider. So let's assume a cash payment method, which might not have a refund path for some of the customers. We sit down and we ended up developing that for this specific customer with this specific partner. And it's something that today is used by many fintechs globally, right? And many companies globally. So that's why we try to take it to like the next level, which is like, how do we start working with some of these partners individually, right? To create even a more robust solution. Because many times what has happened is they might have launched a payment method and it scaled very, very quickly, right? And in the back, a lot of the technology maybe was not prepared for that large scalability, and that's where we come in and to adapt more to a global scenario. I think there's a lot more we could do in terms of like banking APIs, how do we have like the best sources for things like KYC, right, and KYB. Mm-hmm. You know, today finding a good source to validate things like, okay, is this the guy owning the account that, you know, they said, is it his name, right? Is the account number correct? That we can do, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of that data, I think we still have a long way to go to harmonize some of that. For me, the job that the Central Bank of Brazil did with Pix is amazing, right? And something that, many other countries could learn of in Latin America. We started hearing from them already about like potentially enabling cross-border payments. I think that's where the next set of wave of collaboration should go, mm-hmm. in making sure, yeah, we can provide like a more harmonized and standardized overall experience across not just one country, but a lot more countries and potentially payment methods.
dLocal recently announced its plans to invest over $100 million to expand within Argentina. Can you speak to the opportunities you see in Argentina at this time? And additionally, how you anticipate the country's new presidential administration will impact both the fintech sector and dLocal's efforts to serve its customers there?
Totally. So I think the investment in Argentina for us today is a very important market. It's a very big base for us and something that we want to continue to grow because of the talent that is based there, right? And the customers that we serve. Going to your second point, we just elected a new president. Some people here in the audience might not know or yes, right? But he's very keen in dollarizing the economy, which will take its time, right? Probably 12 to 24 months, if he can even achieve it in that time frame. But I think the overall message has been Argentina wants to open back up to the world. And that means removing some of the liquidity barriers that exist today, right? Which really hinder a lot of the companies from operating in the country, right? Because it just becomes a bit more uncertain from the company side, but also from the consumer side. Today, the tax burden for somebody who's trying to do a transaction which is outside of Argentina is they're paying almost 100% of that tax again. We've mm-hmm. already seen signs of some of those taxes being removed, but also some plans on how they're going to reduce that in the next 3 to 6 months. A lot of the customers which before could not access the what we call the MULC, which is a preferential, you know, mm-hmm. rate, are now being able to access that market. Argentina is changing very, very rapidly, I'd say. All of the international customers who might have stopped their operations in Argentina, I think, are definitely coming back to us to resume them. Even if you look at it from a contribution, let's say it's 1 or 2% of a global company or even less, right? It's still a great customer base for them.
Are there any other opportunities that dLocal sees in Latin America that we haven't yet touched on?
We were talking before, Wesley, I think, about Pix. Pix today is leaving out a very big customer base, which is all of the recurring customers, for example. So we see now a lot of focus in them trying to solve for recurring payments. And we think the ability to do recurring payments, but also paying installments, are going to be very big. And I think that trend is going to continue to grow. At the end of the day, you know, things like Pix and so on, they're a much cheaper option to the usual card scheme. And the user experience is pretty amazing. I think we're going to see more and more of those, you know, account-to-account solutions or those type of centralized solutions being pushed, which are really focused on bringing the cost of money movement down.
Stepping back, what global fintech trends are you seeing that excite you the most? And how is dLocal positioning itself in this landscape?
Yeah, I think, Wes, you and I spoke a lot about Latin America per se, right? But there's a lot of other stuff that we continue to see. So Africa continues to grow double digit very aggressively, help out a lot of the tailwind around mobile penetration. Less than 30% of the population are on 4G now, but that's gonna change, you know, by 2025 or 2026 or so. Some of those trends are gonna aid a lot of the growth in e-commerce. That's why we see a market like Africa being super attractive. Middle East continues also to be super high growth for us as far as 2024. More and more we see our payout solution growing from B2B companies to B2C companies, right? Because a lot of the B2B companies might come to us and say, hey, you know, I've been sending this Swift transaction for ages. I need to lower my costs here, but also I need a better CX because these guys are getting their money in T+6 and they need to get it on the same day.
dLocal's co-CEO, Pedro Arnt, recently spoke to Forbes about growth trends in the gig economy. Can you elaborate on what you're seeing in this vertical and how it's impacting dLocal's 2024 product roadmap?
I think as you and I spoke before, freelance positions have increased globally, right? And a lot of the gig economy, it's a trend that continues to develop, right? Even more when you look at Latin America, right? Where I think it in the last couple of years, I can't remember, but the amount of millions of people that it brought into the, you know, regular economy, somebody who before, you know, was not able to be an Uber driver. Now they can be an Uber driver. They can get lending through their Uber app, right? They can do so many things and become part of the financial system per there, right? So for us is we see that impacting dLocal into next year a lot, right? Because as I said before, the trend globally is that more and more things are related to the gig economy or the sharing economy, right? It's tied to, you know, from consumer, from how humans' behavior is gearing towards, right? Which is related to, you know, having more freedom or more independence from that perspective, right? To, you know, potentially having more than one job, right? So they'll get multiple jobs to make sure they can make ends meet and some of those things. And I think that's what really makes it very, very attractive for dLocal. We have our product, which we develop for the staff, which is called dLocal for Platforms, right? And it's really, really focused on simplifying a lot of these key economy players, right? Access to both ends of the transaction, which is accept as much things as you can to help them grow, right? Your own customer base from the merchant, but also at the same time, being able to pay them out, right? In the way that they want as well, right? Because we many times probably speak about the pay inside of the house, but the pay outside of the house is becoming as important as the pay inside of the house, right? Today, yes, maybe 3 years ago, the norm was you're going to get your funds in T+7, right? Or T+15 or whatever it is, right? I think now companies are starting to focus a lot more on the CX, right? And it's becoming something that whether if a gig or sharing economy player, right, is paying their the people who are using their tools, you know, on T+5 or T+7 and into a tool or into a bank account, that might not be their preferred thing, right? So they might switch whatever app they're using, right, or whatever thing they're using to somebody that will pay them instantly, right? And they can receive the funds in their wallet of choice, right? And they can consume that right away. So I think that's what really, really excites us, right? Which is like, we've been doing this for a long time. We developed the product based out of some of the largest marketplaces in the world, right? And we see that it's a trend that's only going to continue to grow double digit over the next 5 to 10 years, right? Because as you know, you and I spoke about verticals like educational technology, right? Medical technology, like those are things that you see more and more players coming in and, you know, connecting doctors all over the world to me who might have, you know, something that I care about, my health, right? And that just becomes more and more global as you scale, right? And as this company scales. And I think that's where, again, that's our sweet spot, right? It's those companies that operate in multiple countries, right? That have multiple points of money movement that we can optimize, right? And help them scale.
So on a more personal note, are there any principles or philosophies that are meaningful to you that have guided your decision-making throughout your career?
That's a good question. Yeah, I think, Wesley, it's the focus for me. It's if you have the ability to listen to your customers, that really gives you the guide of how you need to act. And I think overall as a philosophy, it's never, you know, never give up, and there's nothing that's really impossible. That's the mindset that I try to pass on also to my team, right? Is, you know, let's think creatively about how we solve these problems, because if they're there, somebody's going to solve them at some point, right? So why not us and somebody else?
Well, Justo, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast. Thank you so much for sharing your insights and experiences with us.
No, thanks to you, Wesley. Appreciate your time and hope you have a very nice end of the year.
Thank you so much. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Until next time. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Wharton FinTech Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please follow us on social media or leave us a review. We appreciate your support and hope that you'll continue to spread the word to more listeners. Until next time, this is your host, Wesley Astor.